1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 declares a very wonderful truth. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption, nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold, but with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. The holy commandment forbade me draw near. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior removeth my fear. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold, but with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. The way into heaven could not thus be bought. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior redemption hath wrought. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold, but with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold.
Thank you, David Sr. You have to say that. There's two David Andersons in our church. All right, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I talked with Mason, and he's got a little bit of a heart issue, folks. He came up to me and he said, if you had 2,000 kids at your VBS, I would not buzz my head. And I just looked at him, thinking, man, after looking at his father's facial reaction about buzzing his head, I think we could have 5 kids registered and his dad would be happy if we buzzed his head. So I think it might be on. I don't know. I don't know if it's a willing sacrifice. He might be crawling off of the altar, but be praying about that. I still am in conversation with Carlton about the fro. Yes, and so we'll talk more. We'll talk more. But you know what? VBS is fun, isn't it? And Joe and I were talking about VBS today, and we can't wait for VBS to happen, Vacation Bible School, to do crazy things. And, you know, pastors waxed his leg for the sake of VBS before. So I don't know if we can pull that one back out. He still hasn't grown all the hair back from that. I'm supposed to stop there. but I know that in the past, you know, there's a lot of crazy things that have happened for the sake of offerings that come in and kids to get registered. And, you know, kids get saved at VBS. Adults get saved at VBS. And I'm hoping that God does plenty of miracles over our vacation Bible school. And so just be praying about that. Be praying about that. All joking aside, it is very serious outreach that we have coming up. And if you aren't involved with it, please be so. Okay? You say, I can't be there every morning. If you can be there for Carnival, please be a part of that. But most importantly, be praying. Be inviting. I imagine you know a kid that should be at VBS. Instead of watching YouTube for 3 hours, they should be at VBS, okay? Instead of playing Minecraft for 3 hours, they should be at VBS. Instead of playing outside in the sunshine, they should be at VBS. So find a way to get any children, don't kidnap children, okay? But find a way to get children to VBS, because it's so, so important. We're going to be talking about God, and God is the one that changes lives. And so I'm really looking forward to that. All right, so Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15, and it would be helpful if I was there. But, you know, I was reading through this, and if you recognize the passage, as you go farther down, all of a sudden it's a very familiar passage. To many of you, and some of you might have been thinking that I was going to jump into the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh tonight. I'm not yet, because verses 13 through 15 are intense enough, and I want to make sure that we handle this correctly. So just, if you haven't been praying, please pray that God allows me to handle this correctly. Can we read through 13 through 15 together? It says there in verse 13 of Galatians 5, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, or one phrase, or one thought, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." That's an interesting last verse to end it off with, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. But I have entitled this tonight, True Freedom's Focus. True Freedom's Focus. Have you heard of freedom before? Okay, has it been brought up in your conversations? And lately, that seems to be in about everybody's conversation in relation to America. And I'm not going to get into politics tonight. I'm going to go a different route because I think that's enough talked about in all of our conversations. So you go to Arby's tonight, it's probably going to come up in your conversation. We're not free anymore. Well, that's a debate. That's a debate. But let's jump into this illustration as we get into it. I was at Faith on Friday, and by the way, I'm super pumped about Faith and its values and the leadership there. Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, and there are good things that happen in Iowa. Michelle Birch is one of them, and then Faith. I don't know how much more than that, but no, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of good things, a lot of pro-life decisions that are happening in Iowa, from what I understand. And so I'm excited about that. But Faith has a good heart. Their staff is on board with what the Bible states. And I would be happy to send my child to a place to get their college degree or even just 1 year of Bible certificate for that, because they're focused on discipleship. Every Monday, they take the they make sure that their couple of rooms get together for a discipleship group. That's important to me. That's important to God. That's why it's important to me, okay? It's important to God. And by the way, if you're not involved in a regular discipleship, if you're not being discipled or you're not discipling someone, start this week. Make time. Say, I don't have time. Bogus. We have time for everything else. Find a way. It's sister to sister. Find that route. Ladies, get together. There's multiple Bible study groups every month that are getting together in homes or at the church. So, ladies, there's really no excuse around it. Someone's going to be able to find a spot for you to come and join their group, okay? Just individual. Go and disciple someone. That is so important. That's what's near to the heart of Jesus Christ, so it should be near to our heart. Going and making an impact. If we talk about freedom, what if all of a sudden our religious freedom was taken away today? Would you be able to lead a Bible study in your home? What if all of a sudden what's happening in Canada happened here? Would you be able to do an underground church? Could I call you up and say, hey, and in secret language, whatever that might be, can you take a few people into your home and lead a Bible study? Can you present the word? Are you brave enough? Is it important enough? And that's something that we should be thinking about. And as I was at Faith, man, I was just so excited about that. But then going to a chapel service, it was good to listen to the word of God being preached. And then going to a class, a couple of classes after that. And biblical emphasis, okay, that's added, a biblical worldview that's added to your classes. I love it. I love it. And in fact, juniors and seniors can start right now taking classes that count for high school and for college all at the same time. Just think if your kid was getting college math with a Christian teacher, what would change? All of a sudden, something's going on in your kid's heart. Your college math teacher would want to reach into your kid's heart and try to help them along. I mean, just things have changed. But with faith, okay, there's rules. There's rules. Have faith. They have a handbook. And we were going through the dorms, and the guys were there together. The ladies went to the girls' dorm. I don't know what they do over there. Usually nothing bad happens in the girls' dorm. It's always in the guys' dorm that bad things happen. So we're in the guys' dorm, and we ask all the stupid questions while we're alone with the guys' reps. And one of the questions, and it was by an adult. So what's one of those weird rules that you just don't understand, but yet it's in the handbook? And the guy said, you know, the weirdest rule is that you can't clean geese in the sink in the dorm. Yes, folks. That was a rule. You mean clean geese like he was giving a goose a bath? No. He shot the goose and dealt with the goose inside the dorm. That's a rule. So, Jason, make sure you follow that rule when you go to Maranatha, all right? That's important. You know, at Northland, we couldn't bring bear cubs into the dorm. Duh! Do you know what? Two idiots did it. They got in big trouble. There's rules. There's rules that happen. You know what? At Faith, you have to make your bed every single day. Whoa. Miles is going to get sent there now, okay? He might be a little bit early, but he's going. I saw the idea pop up into Mindy's head right there. It was like a little light bulb. All right? It, every single day. At Pillsbury, when I went there, you had to vacuum every single day because you got a room check. Okay? And then if you didn't get your room vacuumed, guess what? You got a fine. Yes. You got a fine for not vacuuming your room. Now, let's say that Miles goes off to college and then he calls me up and he says, Pastor, these rules are crazy. They're making me make my bed every single day. I'm getting demerits like wildfire. And you know what I'm going to tell him? Suck it up, buttercup. You have an authority figure over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. Right? That's scripture. Make your bed. Vacuum your room. Now, if Miles graduates from faith and gets out and he takes the rule book home and he gets married to somebody and he hands this rule book over to his wife and says, you must follow every single rule in this handbook. You know what she's going to do? She's going to beat him over the head with it. He says, you are not submitting to faith's rules. Yeah, right. This is my house. I'm not going to do it. How many of you vacuum your room every single day? Didn't think so. You say, my robot vacuums my room every single day, right? There's a difference. And then when I was at Pillsbury and they were telling us all these rules, and yes, the rules were different than what I had at home, they said, you know what? We have rules here. You need to follow them. And if you don't, it is rebellion against the authority that you have. Now, we have an expectation that when you go home, you won't have these rules. You won't take this handbook home with you. You'll have different rules. You're not going to try to abide by our law and then base your spirituality based on that law, right? You're not going to try to do that. At least most people don't. You know, we don't have a law after hearing the message this morning. I'm just wondering if it's going to be a part of the covenant soon that you must have your lawn as green can be. And it must be you must cut it at 3 inches. Do not scalp your lawn and stay off of pastor's lawn, right? You know, no, that's a joke. That's not going to be a part of our church covenant. You want to know why? Because it's not in God's word. It's not in God's word. So there might be a rule book that's out there, but I haven't taken faith's rule book and added that to my life as if it's somehow going to make me look better before God. In our church covenant and our constitution, if you look through our doctrine, you won't find anything that's outside of the word of God. Are you thankful for that? Okay, if there was something that was in there, as far as our doctrine goes, that was outside of the word of God, you would have a cause to question. And I think I've stated this before. I've had people that when I was at Dayton, they'd come up to me and they would complain. Because they wanted to become a church member. And I would hand them the church constitution and I'd say, in the covenant, and I would say, here, read this. And if you're in agreement, we can talk some more. They'd bring it back to me. I don't want to read this. This is outside the Bible. I said, no, it's not. Go look. Everything is based off of Scripture. I don't want to read. They had so much problem with going through that and that set of the beliefs. They thought it was outside. But I went through and made sure that everything was by the Scripture. That's important, folks. That we don't go off and add all these other things to try to make sure people abide by these certain things just because it floats our boat. What happens? When I add all these other things, I'm trying to conform you to my mold that I've created for you. How possible is that? It's impossible. Something's going to break. You don't have my law presented to make you more spiritual. It's God's word that's presented to you that makes the difference. Now, going off of that, you have one extreme of the law and trying to take that and attain your spirituality with that. But then on the other side, if you remember, I also went to a different school called Northland. Now, when Barry went to Northland, it was a very different school, okay? And he had fun. He chased deer with a golf cart when he was the security guard. But that's just what you do at Northland, all right? But when I was there, there was a lot of transition that happened. We went from having a rule book to actually they took that and they kind of tossed that, if you remember me discussing this before, and they said our rules are going to just drop down to love God, love others. Now, that's biblical, folks. But did it work? All of a sudden, those students who just got out of their parents' home saw this. Freedom! That was it. And we didn't, as an institution, we didn't really have a set of standards to go by. I mean, love God, love others, but there's a whole lot of freedom in those two things, right? And so then all of a sudden you had all these students going around, and this is literally what they would say. I can do whatever I want. I have the freedom. I have freedom in Christ. I can do whatever I want. I can say what I want to say. I can listen to what I want to listen to. I can do whatever I want to do. And you know what? The staff at that point had no idea what the standards was. So they didn't know what to hold the students to. It was a chaotic mess at Northland. An absolute chaotic mess. You know, there's two extremes in that. Where you could try to hold on to some law to make yourself look spiritual, or you could go over to this side where I'm free in Christ, and that's what we've been talking about a lot in Galatians. I'm free in Christ, I can do whatever I want. There's two extremes. We're always involved in these extremes, aren't we? Okay? We're always in the extremes. It's either or. We struggle with balance, don't we? We struggle with balance. And so as we get into this, just think of the two different struggles that we have. And on one side, we're talking about a slavery to the law, a bondage to the law. On the other side, when we just go off and say, freedom, and I can do whatever I want to do and say whatever I want to say and think however I want to think, we're actually given over to the slavery of sin. You say, how so? Just look at verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the what? Flesh. That opportunity to sin, don't give up to that. But you know what? Before we even get into that section, I just want to revisit this thought process. Point number one, called to freedom. We go into the verse 13. In our call to freedom, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That is an important saying. You say, why is it so important? Because I did not call myself to that liberty. I have been called by the Creator to that liberty. Who is able to call? This is a passive statement in the sense of me. I cannot attain this freedom on my own. I can't make that happen. I wasn't the one that did the deed to give my salvation, and am thankful that I'm also the one that cannot undo my salvation, folks. Because if I work to get it, if I brought myself there, then that means that I can crawl right back out. And you know, that's the problem with being a living sacrifice. We can crawl off the altar, but that doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. Because our salvation was by the power of Jesus Christ. We can, after we've sinned, we can lay ourselves right back at His feet and say, okay, God, I need forgiveness. Isn't that what Pastor was talking about this morning? If you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. He is. And so it's not that idea of me trying to attain the law in order to gain that freedom. I have been called to this freedom. I have been given this option. God has been hospitable to me and allowing me to come over. He's allowed that. He's given me that opportunity. So remember this aspect of your salvation and don't take it for granted. Whenever I know that it wasn't by me, I must return in thankfulness and worship to our God that He called me to freedom. So you go on to that second point. Now use your freedom correctly. Use your freedom correctly. It says there, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Okay, we need to define a term here. It says there that you've been called to liberty. Okay, only use that liberty. Don't use it for an occasion for the flesh. What does that occasion mean? That occasion, behind that word, it means that it hints at bringing in a starting point for your flesh. Bringing in a base of operations for your flesh. Bringing in a place of safety for your flesh. It says, don't use your freedom to give safety and a base of operations to your flesh. Don't let Satan take up ground, real estate, in your mind, in your heart. Don't let him take over. Use your freedom in a wise way. Let's say, have you ever allowed your children to stay home by themselves? Okay, maybe you think that they're getting old enough. Maybe you think that at a certain age that they can handle themselves. You don't have to call the babysitter anymore. And yet, in that moment, that first time, there's a test. Now, let's not do any confession, but how many of you failed that first test of when your parents allowed you to stay at home by yourself? Some giggles, maybe, okay? Why? Because you're remembering back in the day whenever you were allowed to stay home by yourself. Some of you are still not allowed to stay at home by yourself since that first point. Your spouse doesn't trust you to stay at home. But I don't know what's going on in your home. But you know what? Sometimes there's a level of freedom that's being given. But then when you shave your little sibling's head after your parents leave because they mouthed off to you. I didn't do that, folks. I'm just giving an example, okay? That freedom might be taken away. It's used in the wrong way. Let's say you're an American. I'm free, right? Okay? But let's say that you decide to go down... let's say that you decide to go down Northern Avenue at 87 miles per hour because you're a free citizen of the United States of America. USA, U.S., right. You know what? There's usually a cop out here around here somewhere. And I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious when they're waiting for somebody and all of a sudden those lights start going on. Guess what? You don't think you're as free as you thought you were, right? Because you gave an occasion to the flesh to kind of speed it up a little bit. You use your occasion for freedom in the totally wrong way. You see, you may be free from the law because Jesus fulfilled it. You might be free from the slavery of that, but then all of a sudden you find that other people swing to the other side of the pendulum and use their freedom that they have in Christ to try to say, hey, I'm going to take advantage of His grace. You know what Paul said about that? Just because grace abounds, it doesn't mean sin needs to. Fooey on that. God forbid. He set the record straight because we tend to do that. We either tend, and this is just, I don't know what it is, but I think it's just the human tendency to either promote legalism or promote the flesh, license to do whatever I want. Have you ever found that to be true? I mean, we either try to beef up on the rules to make sure that everything conforms correctly, or we just kind of let it go. A lot of people are on either side of the extreme. He says, you know what, use this tool, use what you have been given in a wise manner. In a wise manner. Just like if we were to go back to that illustration of speeding down the road, if all of a sudden you actually thought a little bit farther than your heavy lead foot, if you thought farther and thought, you know what, somebody's kid might be playing in the front yard on this road. Somebody might not see me because of how fast I'm going and pull out. It's kind of like the alcohol thing. They give you a limit of how much you can drink on the road, right? Was it 0.08? All right. So people drink. And then they drive. They don't think beyond their own self. And then you know what happens? Just like a few weeks ago. It's usually the one that's drunk that ends up with non-life-threatening condition, and the rest of them are either put in the ground or are fighting for their lives. Do you get where I'm going with this? We have a freedom to do right, to think about others, to love one another. It's like we have replaced voluntarily, we replaced the slavery to legalism or the slavery to our flesh with the slavery, and I mean this on a positive note, to love. So what are you talking about? Well, as it goes on there, it says, but by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. That love is an agape love. It's a deep love. It's not something that's just on the surface. It goes down deep. But then in that idea of serving, that idea, that word behind, it hints at a slave, a servant. When I love, I'm going to go beyond what my flesh would be, what my selfishness would say to me. I want to go beyond and actually serve. I want to go beyond what other people expect of me and give them the wow effect of there must be someone who's in charge of Taylor. Who's living within Taylor that makes Taylor different. So I'm going to use my freedom. I'm going to use the life that he's given me, or at least I should, to make others see Jesus. The light that he shows. Something that's unique. Holy. Not because of who I am, but because of who lives within me. Use your occasion of freedom to love. He goes on in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Now, this would be confusing because when you've heard this command, you would know it as being the second greatest command, right? Because the first greatest command is the best command. The top command is love the Lord God with everything. So you say, well, this doesn't quite make sense. Why would he say that the whole law is summed up in this? Well, what he's dealing with is human-to-human interaction here. He's saying, if you were to sum up the law, if you were to go back, I'm gonna go to you people who are really focused on the law in this moment. And if you were to go back to that, you know what it says in your interaction with all these other people? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it sums up to. If you were to sum that up, if you were to bring it all together, love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting Leviticus 19:18, right? Do you have that up there? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. He's quoting Matthew 22:39. It says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He is going back to what Jesus taught. He's going back to what God taught in the law. And he's saying, listen, if you want to sum all this up, love your neighbor. Don't be focused so much on the details of trying to check mark every single bit off of your handbook, but actually love the people that you're interacting with. You say, well, they're not the neighbor because they're not right next to me on Roosevelt Road. Your neighbor is anybody that's in close vicinity to you. It's the ones that you interact with. It's the people that you can't stand in the workplace. It's the people that you can't stand in the school drop-off line. Why can't they get it? Drop off your kid and go. I got stuff to do. But no, they got to wait there. They got to get out of the vehicle and they got to unbuckle their child. And they got to give them kisses, 30 of them. And they got to say, I love you. And they got to get their backpack because their kid forgot a backpack. And oh, we got to get that mask on. So come on, come back. I'm gonna pack that with love on your face. Okay? Maybe I'm exaggerating it. But why is it so hard? And yet, I got to love that person. I got to love the person who messes up my order in the drive-thru for the 17th time. Why can't they get this? Oh, and they want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. I can't believe this. Oh, I got to love the teenagers that broke into my vehicle and stole stuff. I gotta love the people that step on my grass. I gotta love all those people that I'm in the vicinity with, because by loving, I show that I actually love God. I'm using my freedom, my time, my effort that God's given me, when He could have just wiped me off of the face of the map, to love. Well, I'm a man, I don't love, I don't talk about love. That's a poor little word that I said to my wife on our wedding day, and if it changes, I'll let her know. Now, Jesus is a top-notch man. And I'm pretty sure He talked about love quite a bit. And not only talked about it, He proved it. By using His short life. Short life. Short ministry. To do the will of the Father. Folks, that's the difference. That's the difference. He's calling us to do, to serve, to give ourselves over to things that we wouldn't normally give ourselves over to. To say yes, to say no to things that normal people that don't have Jesus Christ, that we would just say, yes, I will because I do have Jesus Christ. No, I won't do this because I have Jesus Christ. We won't give over to the flesh. We won't provide the real estate for Satan. This is what's important. See, sometimes we find ourselves creaking our necks to find the wrong in everyone else. You see what the problem with this is? Is you've got people, and in fact, let me just ask this, okay? Let me just pose this, okay? All right, if I was to consult with every single one of us in here, and ask you what your favorite music is. I think we get about how many people we have in here, that many opinions. Now, when somebody else has a different opinion than me, I struggle with that. Do you struggle with that? Okay, if they didn't vote for the same person that you did, we struggle with that. Well, no, you have to believe the same way that I believe. And you have to do exactly as I do. See, when this is happening, when you have people that are really honed in on the law and trying to add all these things, and then the people that are really honed in on the flesh and wanting to do everything that they want to do when they want to do it, you know what? They're always saying, man, they have got it wrong. They are messed up. They are not a good enough Christian. Let's see, it's always looking over there. Do you know what? If we drove like we live our Christian lives, I'm not sure how long we would stay on the road. Did you see that? Can you believe the way their children are acting? I would have whooped them by now. I can't believe those parents did that. Whoa. If they would have my parenting skills the way that I believe God says there should be, they wouldn't have problems in their life. A police. Have you ever noticed, and I know that's a weird illustration, but have you ever noticed yourself doing that? Have you ever judged somebody else by the way that they're living their lives? You think maybe they wouldn't have so many problems if they would do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And so all of a sudden we start looking at other people as if they're not spiritual enough, they aren't Christian enough, they're not godly enough. And then all of a sudden, guess what we have? We have a ton of seeds of discord that are going out there. And we're not getting the job done. I brought something up in Sunday school today about how we are so quick to complain on Facebook or any social media about how everybody's doing it wrong or not doing it enough. And I'm talking about, well, if the young people would just be in church today, man, our America would be great. Let's stop. And instead of complaining, if we see an issue, let's go get them. Let's go hold their hand. Let's go and exhort them. Let's go disciple them. Somebody come to your mind? Somebody come to your mind that oh man, I just wish they had it together. I wonder who's discipling them right now. Or is it the lack thereof because everybody's complaining about them? See, that's the division that he's going against and dealing with in this section. He says, just love your neighbor as yourself. We really like ourselves. We love ourselves. I know that America is trying to tell you that you need to love yourself more, but we don't. We already do. We think highly of ourselves. We are selfish people. We are human beings that give easy over to the flesh. And if people aren't fitting into our mold, then they've got an issue, not me. And he's saying, just love your neighbor as yourself. If you would hope that somebody would come and throw a life jacket to you, why can't we do that to other people? Anybody, if you were drowning out in the ocean, would you want somebody to throw a life vest to you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to get eaten by a shark. I don't want to drown. I want a lifesaver coming out with a rope attached to it so you could just pull me in. Why are we doing that for the drowning people that are all over our community? Well, they weren't in church today. I wonder why. They're probably not even saved. Why don't we go get them? Right? That's the thing. Love our neighbors. If we're so focused on the way that other people are trying to fit into our mold or not fit into our mold, we're not loving our neighbor. We just need to go out and love them. It goes on into that third point. It says, this is an oxymoron. Destroyed, but saved. Right? It's an oxymoron. You go into verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Okay, so this is kind of a duh moment, right? Just at least if they could have been put duh in the Greek, it would have been there. But I'm not sure that was a word back then, okay? You know, a slap in the head, you could have had a V8 type moment, all right? It says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out, because you might consume one another. Duh. If you have a pie out in front of you, now y'all are getting hungry. And if you start taking bites out of that pie, guess what? You won't have a pie very long. It will be consumed. But you know what? In that same idea of going off of that, people who are saved and enjoying the life that they have in Jesus Christ should not be going out and destroying other people. Am I correct there? If we're enjoying life, we should be throwing the lifesaver rather than devouring other people. Because it gets to a point, if you start devouring your church, pretty soon, no one will be left in the pews to be a church. And when people outside hear that this is the church for devouring people, I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just saying what's in Scripture here. If people outside heard that grace was known for devouring its own, I'm not sure that anyone would want to fill the pews after we've already devoured others. Does that make sense? It's an oxymoron for me to enjoy life and devour others. If we pick and bite, it's the picture of animals trying to attack one another. That should not be the church, folks. If we bite and take away from each other and sowing those seeds of discord, we will not be any longer. But it had to be said. Why does it have to be said? Because churches do this. We allow for occasions of the flesh and we protect, we put safety nets over those occasions of the flesh because it feels good in the moment. But just as Pastor stated this morning, there is pleasure for a season. There is pleasure in sin. Won't last very long. The pie will be gone soon. So folks, when we get into this, we need to be watching ourselves. We need to watch that we don't give to the extreme of the law in trying to appease God by doing when it's already been done, and we don't give air to the flesh side, the occasion to the flesh. We need to stay away from that. We need to have that balance right in the middle and give ourselves over to the freedom that we have and use that freedom in the correct manner by loving one another. If I love you, I want you to grow in Christ. If I love you, I will do what is necessary to make sure that you can eat food at the table. That's my job. To serve the food here for you to be able to eat. I care. care. Pastor cares. Your Sunday school teachers care. And that's what's important, to be able to provide that. And I need to do what's necessary to make sure that that happens, so that you are better off, that I am better off, for the glory of God, as our relationship blossoms. That's what we need to have happen individually. And that's why I challenged each one of you, get or be discipled. Get a disciple. Be a disciple. Go read the Word of God. That's how things change. That's how you grow. That's how God moving in you, as you know more about God, that's how we grow in Him. And we appreciate our freedom even more. Say, Pastor, I don't like this. You mean I have to talk to people? Yes. And things will change. You know, we do a lot of crazy things for our kids. Do you agree with that? Okay, we clean up dirty things for our kids. Right? Have you ever changed a diaper? I figured most of the men would say no, because there's, like, above my generation, I don't do that stuff. My wife does that stuff. I go mow the grass, right? And you, when you're changing the dirty diaper, you don't just, oh man, I love this. This is great. No, you're gagging. It's rough. Those videos are funny on YouTube, by the way. Dad's gagging over diapers. Do you know what? I've done it. Not as much as my wife would like me to. Not for the sake of enjoying changing a dirty diaper, but because I love my kids. And I don't want them sitting in it all day. I'll do crazy things. Like, has your family ever got sick? You know, and crazy stuff happened. Several weeks ago, our entire family got sick except for me. Guess who was on cleanup duty? I did not go skipping around saying, I just love this. Let's go get a bucket. Woohoo! This is fun. Here's your blanket. Here's your saltine crackers. Let me go get some ginger ale. Or if you're from Michigan, let's get some burners. All right? I did not enjoy it. I was tired, folks. I was tired. It was not fun. I cleaned out a ton of buckets, wishing that I would just get it so somebody can clean out my buckets, right? I was not enjoying it. But you know what? I did it, not because I'm such a great dad, but because I love my family, right? And we deal with that stuff. We do what needs to be done. We do what needs to be done over and over and over again, because we love one another because of what Christ has done for us. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for this passage. Help us not lift the law up to where we're trying to appease you in that sense, but help us not to lift our flesh up. God, help us love as you've loved us. Help us to use our freedom for your sake, for your glory, to do the dirty things that most people wouldn't, because we love. God, just help us to be a church. Help us to be disciple makers. God, help us to be the goal, or to have a goal as a church, to be 100% of our people discipling people. God, just give us the passion to do this stuff. Not critiquing constantly, but trying to disciple and help others grow in you. That we will allow other people to disciple us. that we'll allow other people to jump into our lives and to help us grow in you. God, just help us to do what you've called us to do here in calling us to freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.